Good afternoon. Have you ever been asked this question? What do you want to be when you grow up? Or how about this? What do you want for your life? You know, I get asked that question still. What do you want to be when you grow up? And I know you are teens or younger. You get asked this too. And what do you say? Maybe you say, I don't know, you don't really want to get into it. Maybe you say, I want to be successful. Or, I would like to have a nice car and a house. Or, respected. I want a good job. Or maybe some of us say, I would like to read the Bible from front to back. Or understand doctrine and be able to explain it to people who don't know the truth. When they ask me a question, I can just go right out there and give them an answer. Well, and tomorrow's Passover, right? And the start of the holy day season. Maybe you say, I want to be part of God's plan. Be part of God's plan in the future. But we all have goals. We have desires. We have hopes in life. But will you ever really achieve those goals? Will they become a reality in your life? I want to read part of this article. This was given to me by Mr. Rosler. And the title is, How High School Decisions Can Affect Your Career. It says, high school is a time of pep rallies, prom, and teenage rebellion. It's also a time when students start making decisions about getting into college or pursuing post-secondary education. Yet perhaps they should be thinking even a little further ahead to their careers. While many people consider college as preparation for the real world, the decisions made during high school can have the biggest impact on their career success. The problem for many students and even parents is that they fail to think of high school education as an investment good. He goes on to say, despite the fact that they can receive a free high school education that will cost taxpayers an average of about $40,000 over 4 years, nearly one in three students won't graduate. The gap in the labor market success between those who choose to finish high school and those who drop out is large and has risen sharply over time. And it goes on to give several reasons for that, one being building business skills, or basic skills, excuse me. Another, it's an investment in work experience, kind of gets you ahead of how work happens when you're out of school. During that time, you can also think of higher education, college, right? Where you're going, how you're going to get to where you want to be in life. And the last point they have is that it also develops skills that you can use later on in your career. Then it finishes by saying, students who pay close attention to the decisions made in high school, from elective courses to after-school activities, will find that it helps them not only in their pursuit of a college education, but in their pursuit of a fulfilling career. So what it's saying is, you know, your actions, a student's actions now in high school, a time when many people think it's not time to worry about what's happening later, really affect their future. It's a time to be planning for that career or that future, and it will actually have a big impact on the rest of your life, what you do at that time. Well, everybody wants a good career, right, and success in life. And as this points out, those goals and the plan you have now and the action you take will affect that. So we all have goals, right? But we must plan. We must have a plan, and we must also take action in order to accomplish those goals in our life. Those things we do now are preparation, and they have a direct impact on how successful we will be in the future. You know, think about it. Someone who's successful in life, maybe somebody who has money, who's rich, or some other ability, they don't just get it right then. Right? It was a process through their life on how they got to that point. So we need to have goals in our lives. But we also need to have a plan. And not only plans, but we need to have an action to accomplish those goals. And you'll hear me saying that over and over. Goal, plan, and action. And that's my first point today. We must have a goal. You might also hear it called a purpose or an intention of your life. There's many articles written about this subject, many books. I'm going to be reading from a couple today. One's called Really Live. It's by Randy Carlson. Another one, The Purpose-Driven Life by Rick Warren. They're very popular books. You can get at any bookstore. There's also a recent article, or The Beyond Today, Change Your Life Story by Gary Petty. Kind of covered the same idea. I'll cover some from that as well. But we need to have goals if we want to accomplish things in our life. So you might say, well, I'm not really used to setting goals. It's not something I'm used to doing. So we can all start with short goals, right? Something we might do. Might say something like, I'm not going to talk bad about anyone for a month. That could be difficult for some of us. Maybe I want to memorize a certain number of verses, or I want to save money, get in shape, all the things we make goals for. Or maybe you want to read the Bible from front to back, you know, in order. Well, how are you going to do that? You know, it takes a plan. The plan might be the Bible reading program. You know, that's the plan, and the action would be to follow through with that. And the same thing applies to our career, our marriage, life, and our spiritual life. I'll give you an example from my life, my career. I started out after high school basically just kind of falling into jobs. That's what a lot of people do. They know somebody, they get a job, make some money, kind of just go from there. Well, that gets you a little ways, but it doesn't get you to a better goal in life. So I knew people. In my case, I'm an RN, a registered nurse. I knew people who had this job, and I looked into it. It was something I felt that I wanted to do. I talked to those people. So I made that a goal. And then my plan, I had to go back to school, and the action was actually doing it, which was difficult. But it paid off. That goal became a reality. So what do you want your life to be? What do you want to do with your life? You know, people oftentimes will limit themselves. And we should not limit what we can do. Especially we should not limit what we should do when God is part of our life. Think of the story of David and Goliath. David, he was up against a huge problem, right? Literally, a giant. You know, and everyone told him, you cannot do this. You're going to fail. You're going to get yourself killed. You know, get away. But that's not what David was going to do, right? He knew the goal was not too big. God was with him, and God was going to see him through it. We recently watched a movie at my house that kind of gave the same point. It was called October Sky. I don't know if any of you have seen this, but it was made in the 90s, about a boy named Homer Hickman. And he grew up in a small town. And it was all coal miners. Everyone there, all they did was be a coal miner. Well, he wanted to work with rockets. He wanted to work with NASA and go to the moon. And throughout that movie, people told him, you can't do this. You're going to be a coal miner. That's what you were born to do. You're in this little town. You know, they said, that's for people in the big city, people who can go to school. It's for other people. It's not for you. Well, if you watch the movie, he does overcome these problems or these things that other people said he couldn't do, and he did go on to become an engineer and work with the space program with NASA. And the point of these stories and the story with David is that God wants us to be successful. Let's turn over to Deuteronomy 28. Deuteronomy 28, verse 1. And this is from the New Living Translation. I'll read it here. It says, "If you fully obey the Lord your God and carefully keep all his commandments that I am giving you today, the Lord God will set you high above all the nations of the world. You will experience all these blessings if you obey the Lord your God. Your towns and your fields will be blessed. Your children and your crops will be blessed. The offspring of your herds and flocks will be blessed. Your fruit baskets and breadboards will be blessed. Wherever you go and whatever you do, you will be blessed. The Lord will conquer your enemies when they attack you. They will attack from you in one direction, but they will scatter from you in seven. The Lord will guarantee a blessing on everything you do and will fill your storehouses with grain. The Lord your God will bless you in the land he has given you." Now this was said to the Israelites, but these things apply to us in our lives. God wants our lives to be successful. He wants to bless us. He wants us to make goals to be successful. So we have goals, but what holds us back? What keeps us from making those goals or planning to accomplish them? Well, one of the things that people do is what's called just complacent living, right? You just go on living. It'll all work out. Don't worry about it. Really no goals. I'll just go through life. Well, from the book, Really Live, it's by Randy Carlson. It says, this is a quote, "Though we have goals in life, maybe we don't press to make them a reality. Because we believe things are good enough and because we have a relationship with the Lord, if we wait long enough, things will come to us. The truth is, we are often letting the world go by." And that's something to think about. Do we need to be pursuing those goals in our life? I'd like to turn to 1 Corinthians 9 and verse 24. First Corinthians 9, verse 24, it says, "Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight, not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified." So what's saying there is there was a goal. He's using the example as a race. And he wasn't, if you're running a race, you have to plan for it, right? You have to get your body in shape. You want to get that goal, you have to plan and take an action to achieve it. Now, another thing that gets in our way of setting goals or achieving them is fear. Think back to that story of David and Goliath. That's what was holding back the Israelites at that time, fear, right? There was a huge amount of fear. We have to overcome those. I'd like to turn to Matthew 25. This is the parable of the talents, and I'll just give a quick rundown of the story. Basically, a master gives his servants one. He gives five talents, one two, and one. The servants with five and two talents will do something with it, and they are rewarded. I'm going to start reading in Matthew 25, verse 24. It says, "Then he who had received one talent came and said, 'Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown, and gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid. I went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours. But the Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and lazy servant. I'll just end there. So the man, he was afraid. He was given something. He had a job to do, but he was afraid. He didn't want to fail. Whatever, he didn't want to fail his master, so he decided to do nothing. So that fear, we need to overcome that. And I will read from Joshua 1, verse 7. This was, again, to the Israelites dealing with their fear. This is what God said to them. Joshua 1, verse 7 says, only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe and do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. The book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you should meditate on it day and night, that you may observe and do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous. Then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. So we need to ask ourselves, what are we afraid of? What fears hold us back in life from setting goals or from accomplishing them? What fears hold us back from serving God the way we should? And there are many things that affect us. What people say about us, what they think, we might worry about that. Sometimes people say, well, this it's not really something church people are capable of doing, it's for other people to do. Or maybe we get worried about getting fired from our jobs, right, over the Sabbath. I think many of us have faced that fear. Or failing classes when you're in school over the feast days. Or we say, it's too hard, I might fail, it costs too much, someone else would be better. No, I'm not the guy, I'm not the girl. I'm going to read another scripture from Psalms 37, verse 1 through 5, and I'll just read it to you from my notes. It says, do not fret because of evildoers, nor be envious of the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Commit your ways to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. So God, he wants you to have goals, and he will help make them a reality in your life. But we should not limit what you, with God's help, are capable of doing. God wants you to be a success in life. So if you have goals, how are you going to get there? If you're heading one way, how are you going to change direction and start heading the way that you want? And that's my next point. We need to plan. Also from the book, Really Live, it says, success at anything isn't by accident, but by decision. I thought that was a good quote. And I'd like to turn to Proverbs, and we'll read a couple more words of wisdom about setting plans, or making plans in our life. In Proverbs 21, verse 5, it says, the plans of the diligent lead surely to plenty, but those of everyone who is hasty surely to poverty. So these words are given to us saying you need to make plans. You want to get somewhere in life, you need to plan for it. I currently have a goal to possibly go back and get some more education to help my career. So that's my goal, right? But I need a plan. And there's multiple ways for me to go about doing this. So I need to talk to people who have gone through this before, see what they've done, the different routes, what can be most beneficial to me, look at the costs, look at all these things, get advice from people, right? And to make that goal a reality. And speaking of that, finding help or getting resources to make a good plan in our life, I'll read from Proverbs 12:15, if you're still there. Proverbs 12:15 says, "Fools think their own way is right, but the wise listen to others." Right? And I'd say others who know, others who have done it, who have been there. You know, they have experience. All of you here, you know, especially younger people who are growing up, going to school, you can all be happy, you can be successful in life. But you need to get to have the resources. And for that, in life, there are people in this very room who work in business, who work in the medical field, the law field, construction, engineer. There's people who are stay-at-home moms. You know, there's people in this room that have great understanding of the Bible or great speaking abilities or what have you. They have been through this before. They're the people you should talk to about taking one of those paths. And they can also tell you about the costs involved. You know, many girls will say they want to be a stay-at-home mom, but then the world will tell you, well, you can't do that. You know, it's cost too much these days. Well, there's people who do it, and it would be good to talk to them to see how, if that's something you're interested in. So you need a plan to succeed. In the Beyond Today program, Change Your Life Story, Gary Petty, he said this, and we all watched it here, but I'm going to read part of that to you. It says, "How can you change your life? How can your life story change? This means that if you want to change both the behaviors and the thinking patterns that led you to your present condition, you have to plan it. Too many times, what we want is to write our own life story following a plot line of tragedy. And then we expect God to come in and fix the bad consequences while we go on with life in the same old way." So it's saying you have to change what you're thinking to get to that goal. I like listening to Dave Ramsey on the radio. Many of you might know who he is. He's a money guy. And he has this quote he always says, "If you want to be rich, do what rich people do." Right? Stop doing what doesn't get you results. And we need to do that with our lives. We need to make plans that get us results. Continue on with the Beyond Today. It says, God, he will rewrite your life story, but we need to do our part. The storyline of your life is a composite of all your decisions. You can't keep making the same flawed decisions. You will simply arrive at the same destructive conclusions. Isn't it time to attempt something different? God wants to replace our short-sighted, self-destructive decision-making process with a way of making decisions that produces happiness and purpose in our life. So it's talking about having goals, right? Making a plan and acting on them. But we must keep that in perspective, right? We're not here to learn about how to get rich, even though that's an okay thing to do in life, right? We need to ask ourselves, are the goals we make, are they about us? Is it just about me? In Proverbs 13, verse 7, if you're still there, I'll read it from my notes. It says, "There is one who makes himself rich, yet has nothing, and one who makes himself poor, but has great riches." So God looks at things differently, right? It's not about money. It's not about what the world says. And we must remember that really with humans, really in our core, there's a faulty reasoning process. Now, it says in Proverbs 16:25, there's a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. You know, we will never experience spiritual health or real success in life until we accept God's ways instead of following ways made by men or our own ways, what seems right to us. And that's something God wants to teach us. He wants to teach us to give up our selfish way of thinking, you know, a short-term thinking, for an eternal way of thinking, a way that God, what God wants for us. So if we plan, make plans in life without God, our life and those goals are really meaningless. From the book, The Purpose-Driven Life, this is a quote. It says, "It's not about you. The purpose of your life is far greater than your own personal fulfillment, your peace of mind, or even your happiness. It's far greater than your family, your career, or even your wildest dreams and ambitions. If you want to know why you were placed on this planet, you must begin with God. You were born for His purpose and His plan." And really, that's the secret that we know that much of the world doesn't. They don't understand it. We were made for God's plan. He is not there to do what we want when we want. And we must always remember this to keep our lives in perspective. Now, there are many self-help books out there. There's advice from the world. And they do lead to great success in the world. You know, you can usually reach those goals in your life. If you set your mind to them, you can accomplish it. But we need to remember to live with the goal in mind, to be successful in God's eyes. That's very different than being successful in the world. Proverbs 3, verse 5, I'll just read it from my notes here, says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your path." So we need to ask ourselves, what is our motivation? Is our motivation to serve God, to live as He wants us to? You know, how much of our lives are controlled by the things we already talked about selfishness, materialism, fear, anxiety? Those things can drive our lives. In Matthew 6, verse 31, let's turn there. Matthew 6, verse 31, it says, "Therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles or the nations seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But first seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you." And that's what we need to prioritize in our life, that we're seeking what God wants us to do, heading towards His kingdom, to serve Him. So God wants to bless our life, but we have to be going with His plan for our life. We must remember what our purpose is, what our ultimate goal in life is. In Matthew 7, verse 7, I can just read it to you here. It says, "Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, it will be opened. Or what man is there among you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks him for a fish, will he give him a serpent? Then if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give you good things to those who ask him? So once again, it's just reiterating that point. God wants you to be successful, but we need to be with God's plan, following his way of life. From the book, The Purpose-Driven Life, it asks a question to the reader. It says, what would others say is the driving force in your life? I think that's a good thing to ask. What would someone say is driving me? Would they say I live for my work? Or would they say I live for God and his ways? What would they say? And what would you want it to be? You know, when God's purpose is foremost in our life, we don't live accidentally. You know, we might stumble at times. Everyone does. But our focus on living to serve God will direct our lives. You know, knowing our purpose or that ultimate goal in our life and having a plan, it simplifies our life. Right? When you have that plan, you know what you're going to do and what you're not going to do. Now, when you're going to do something, you're going to set out on a new project or a new way in life, and you have that plan, you'll know, does doing this help me fulfill God's will in my life? Is this leading me the right way, or is it leading me a way I don't want to go? If you don't have a clear plan or a goal, that direction in your life, you have no foundation to base your decisions on, and you can change the way you're going based on those emotions or circumstances that come up, pressures that come up in life. You know, all those fears that we talked about earlier. And having a plan, it gives you a focus, it's motivating, and it helps you achieve the goals you set for yourself. So we do need to make a plan for our life, where we're headed. God has a plan for us. We know that. And the question now is, what are we going to do about it? We have a goal and a plan. Now what? What is your action? What are you going to do with your life? Now, God has given us all talents, gifts, and it's really up to us to stop planning about things, thinking, you know, looking at others and what they're doing, and start acting ourselves. And we have to have faith that God wants what is good for us, and we need to start moving ourselves. There's a very popular scripture that is used in these books. It's Ephesians 5:10. It says, figure out what pleases Christ, and then do it. And there's a lot to say about that. We need to do it. Get on. You know, and this is the action we need to take. We all have to have the goal to serve God and his kingdom, and we are told to act. Now, the kids, they've been learning about the armor of God. And every one of those scriptures in Ephesians 6, it's about putting on something, and it's about getting ready to do something, all that armor. They're preparing to go into a spiritual battle, so to speak. So it's all about doing and acting. Let's turn over to First Corinthians 11. So Passover, it's tomorrow. And I'm going to read some of these scriptures that will probably be read tomorrow. But we won't all be there. Some, for whatever reason, they're not baptized yet. It's not their time. But Passover and the lessons of Passover definitely apply to all of us. We can all use that example in our lives. In 1 Corinthians 11, verse 27... says, therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks in judgment of himself, not discerning the Lord's body. So it's saying examine ourselves. And we heard about that in the sermonette as well. Examine ourselves. Are we going toward that goal in our life, that ultimate goal that God has for us? I'll also read from 1 Peter 2:24. You don't need to turn there. It says that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness. Same thing. Is this how we live? Now, Christ, he came to this world as an example. He had a goal, a plan, and he is acting on it. And this Passover season, it shows us that. It kind of reminds us of that plan and where we're going, what the plan is. And in the sermonette, it was also mentioned through the whole history of the Bible, of mankind. You know, God had a plan. He's working with us. He has a goal, and he's going to achieve it. He's acting on that. I'm going to read out of Exodus 12. You don't need to turn there. I can read it from my notes. But Exodus 12, it's about the first Passover. You might consider reading this before the night to be remembered when you have your dinner. Most of Exodus 12 actually has a lot of good things to remind us about why we do what we do. But Exodus 12, verse 13, says, now the blood shall be a sign for you in the house where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be on you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. So this day shall be to you a memorial, and you shall keep it as a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. You shall keep it as a feast by an everlasting ordinance. So that was the Passover thousands of years ago. And God was saying, you're going to keep this day on and on to remind you of the plan that God has for his people. And skipping ahead to Matthew 26:26, I'll read that. It says, as they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. Then he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of this vine from now on until the day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. My point of these scriptures is these holy days, they continued on through thousands of years, and they continue on now. And it shows us that plan that God has for us and the action he is taking. There was another recent article by Robin Weber. It was called Bearing Our Cross Like Christ. It was in the Good News magazine. I'm going to read a little bit to you from that. It says, always keep our purpose in mind. The first aspect is to emulate is that Christ's purpose was always before him. Jesus didn't simply wind up on a cross as some kind of accidental savior. At the beginning of his ministry, he clearly stated, the Son of Man must be lifted up, talking about his coming crucifixion. He referred to Moses raising the emblem of a serpent in the wilderness to stop death in its tracks as a type of what his role would be to halt sin's death grip on us. Jesus clearly began each day with this end in mind. He understood that he was set apart for a special purpose, to be the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. The crucified life in Jesus is something that no naturally minded person would ever choose. But Jesus made something very plain in John 15:16, stating, "You did not choose me, but I chose you." Likewise, our purpose of honoring such a calling and serving others must always be set before us, lest we succumb to being accidental Christians. Jesus himself said, "I do not seek my own will, but the will of my Father who sent me." He knew that he had to die that we might live. And likewise, we must die to our own agenda that Christ might live in us. As long as you cling to personal agenda, the will of God will be thwarted in you. It was a very good article. I would recommend you all read that. So Jesus had a plan, and it's just what I was talking about. He's following through with it, and we are all meant to be part of that plan. I'm going to read from John 13:1, something that's powerful to me. Just thinking of Jesus' goals and his plan, how he's acting on it to make it a reality in our lives. It says, "Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come, that he should depart from this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world," and this is the part that gets me, it says, "he loved them to the end." He never stopped. He knew he was going to be killed for the very sins that these people around him were committing, and he never stopped loving them. He never stopped going towards his goal and acting on the plan he has for this world. Jesus Christ, he's going to return. He has a goal, he has a plan, and he's acting on that. We are expected to be accomplishing something now in our lives. In Matthew 24:36, it says, "No one knows the day or the hour," speaking of Christ's return. Our day could be today, right? We don't know that. We don't know when our life ends. Are we pressing towards the finish line, towards that goal in our life? You know, my kids, they're approaching teenager years now, and it seems like I was just a teenager, you know, a couple years ago. It's hard to believe that I have kids that are teenagers. You know, life, it's like a flash. In Ecclesiastes, it says our life is like a wisp of smoke. It's there and then it's gone. You know, our time is short. And I had a very, I was given that example in my own life. You know, I was out, most of you know my father. We were out hunting. And everything was just going to continue as it was. You know, if you would have asked me that morning, it was a morning just like this, a nice day. If you would have said, "How many more days are going to be like this?" I would have thought it was a stupid question. I said, 100 days? 1,000? You know, it's going to go on forever, really. But no, really, it was the real answer would have been minutes. It's a hard lesson to learn, definitely. I'd like to read out of Philippians from the New Living Translation, Philippians 3:12, and I can read that to you. It says, "Press toward the goal. I don't mean to say that I have already achieved these things or that I have already achieved perfection. But I press on to possess that perfection for which Christ Jesus first possessed me. No, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it. But I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Jesus Christ, is calling us." So we are expected to act in our lives. You know, one day God will ask, what did you do with what I gave you? You can read about that in Revelations 20. James 2, verse 26 says, faith without works is dead, and we must be working on that, acting on that. I'm also going to read Matthew 24, starting in verse 26. I can read it from my notes here. It says, faithful and evil, it's about the faithful and evil servant. And basically, it says, blessed is the servant whom his master, when he comes, will so find doing. Now, Passover, it's a time to reflect. What are we doing? How is our lives going? Where are we going? What are our priorities? Do we have that goal, the plan, and are we taking that action in our life that we need to? And I'm not saying anything that our actions would save us. I would never say that. It's by the grace of God. But we are expected to ask or to act. I'd like to turn over to 2 Timothy 4. In 2 Timothy 4, starting in verse 6. Now hopefully the day is coming when we can all say this, say these words. For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. And not to me only, but also to all those who have loved his appearing. So brethren, hopefully this is what we can all say. This Passover season reminds us of that. Hopefully we all think about it. And it's never too late. It's never too late to start on the right path or towards the right goals. You're not too old. You're not too young. You don't have enough abilities. You made too many mistakes. None of that factors in. You can accomplish the goal for your life. You are the guy or the girl for the job. Now, greatness can and will be achieved by you through God. God has a purpose for your life. In 1 Corinthians 1:26, I can read it to you here. 1 Corinthians 1:26 says, for you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world and the things which are despised, God has chosen. And the things which are not, to bring nothing to the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God, and righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption. That as it is written, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. And this is about us. This is about our life, our goal in life, what we need to do with our lives. So let's plan and let's act. And with God's help, we can achieve the goals in our life, that purpose for our life. And set goals. You can accomplish success in your life. Now, don't listen to those people who say you can't, that you're not good enough. But remember what your purpose is and plan according to what God wants in your life. Back in the introduction, I asked, what do you want to be when you grow up? Well, really, the real question should be, what does God want for me when I grow up? And we need to frame our lives and goals around that question. So set a goal to be a good servant of God, someone God can use now and in the future to do his work. And let's keep in mind that a goal is important, but we must also plan and act on those goals to make them a reality. Then with God's mercy, his guidance, our goal, our ultimate goal in life, and the purpose of our lives will become a reality.